This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
Have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
Dooby dooby doo. Whoa, 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 whoa. It's Alice at 97.3. Good vibes and variety. Sorry, Bruno. I didn't mean to step all over you there. Titanic at the California Symphony. All this week, we've got your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the San Francisco Symphony Films Titanic on April 4th at Davie Symphony Hall. Watch the award-winning film, and they're playing the soundtrack live, a live orchestra playing the soundtrack. It's amazing. What an experience. Listen for code words. We're giving out this week at 8:05 in the morning. You text that to our contest line. You're in the running. You got a chance to win. You could be a winner. Hi, it's Wednesday. It's hump day. We're very excited about that. I see you scramble. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Hump day. We have some special treats coming up for you today. We found an old clip that we used to play, and we're gonna feather that right in with some stuff. It'll be fun. Yeah.
And Scott Budman coming up.
Scott Budman's on today.
What do you mean you found it?
Well,
did we get all our stuff back?
No.
Oh. I made it.
Yeah. Because I found some news, and I was like, "What? No. Yeah. Just stand by. It's coming up."
I absolutely hate you for it.
No. This is now.
I'm going to apologize in advance. It's terrible.
No, you don't have to apologize. The Alice listener is well aware of this clip. They're into it. Vinny will be like, "Oh yeah, that clip, of course."
Okay.
Needed to have that.
It's of Maddie?
Nope.
It's a
last thing from our show.
Yeah. Oh. But it's just very annoying.
It is annoying, but it's also a huge part of the fabric of this show.
All right.
Trying to weave it all together. So I'm going to start with the Jennifer, Bennifer, Affleck, Garner, J-Lo, John Miller situation.
Is it a situation?
It turns out it is. Although, it could just as easily not be. Honestly,
back together.
No, they're not. Except that maybe they are. Okay, here's the story. They say here, the plot thickens. There's a source. Now, here's why it's so stupid. Because, of course, there's a source. And you don't have to reveal your sources. You can make up anything you want to go, no. I have a source that told me. Well, who's the source? Well, I don't have to tell you that. Protect my sources. There is a source who says, John Miller has given Jennifer Garner an ultimatum. So there are a series of pictures of Ben and Jen. They're saying here, cuddling. During a paintball outing. I'm going to say that wasn't cuddling.
You don't cuddle during a paintball outing.
These are people who know each other very well.
Unless you go behind the shed. Then that might be where you go to.
Sure, that's some paintball cuddling. Is that? So they're outside, not cuddling. But because of the magic of cameras, you can take a picture and that's whether it was just his arm got in the way and it looked like it was holding on to her. I don't know. They do seem to be very close to each other. There is one picture where his hand is, I don't know if he's just taking it away from her, but the camera has caught it. Just looks like it's, he's going to pick her up like a, I don't even know, like a what. He's got his hand right where you wouldn't want it to be.
But he's not, I bet you if there's a side view of that, he's not touching her.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's just his hand sort of falling down in front of the woman area. But it's because of the magic of photography. It's right there and we're seeing it dead on. So it's hard to tell how far away it is. Anyway, that one picture is part of the problem. But there are a whole bunch of pictures and he is holding her. She's got her gun up and she's trying to paintball somebody and he's got an arm around her. He's standing like sort of beside her, but toward her. It's a weird embrace.
Well, I'm based on the photo I'm seeing right now, he's got her back. She's firing forward
and he's looking at
and
her
he's
six.
Looking behind right. her to make sure she doesn't get nailed from behind.
Yeah. That is, you know, that's one way of putting it. John Miller does not like that way of putting it, but that is definitely one of the ways you could put it. He does. I mean, he could just put his actual back to her back and now there's noon and six.
There's
happening.
No time.
Okay.
There's no time, Sarah. I don't know. I can't defend. I mean, look.
Oh, and there's
being
the, there's
with
the
someone
one picture.
That has a previous marriage and there's kids involved takes a certain amount of maturity and a certain amount of strength, and maybe John Miller has come to the end of that. I think the average person with an average other parent finds a way to deal. You know, Ben Affleck is not an average dude. He's freaking Batman.
A Batman bitch.
I mean, he is something of a superstar, like an international
superstar. Not even something of. You are correct. He's well known.
If John Miller says, you know what? I can't hang. Who could blame him? He needs to just walk and go live his life and, you know, date people whose exes aren't international superstars that played Batman.
Right. He's like a businessman, I think. Remember yesterday we were reading, it's like his ex-wife, John Miller, is his ex-wife's a musician, and they have a kid together, too. And so everyone was like, yeah, they were together, too. They weren't hugging each other for TMZ.
I recently told you the story again because I don't even remember why it came up, but I dated this lady for 1 second. I took her out one time. And while we were at once, this was the first date, we go to dinner, and this lady says to me, and she's looking at me and I'm like, hey.
Right.
And she's like, I'm trying to decide. I have a dentist and I'm not sure if a DJ is better than a dentist.
Was she trying to get you to give her your net worth or something?
I don't know, but I went, you should go with the dentist.
Check, please.
I didn't actually physically ask for the check, but I knew right then, like, I don't know what game you're playing at here, but I'm not going to sell myself to you.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
This is our first date, and I'm not going to get in a fight with a dentist over you at this point.
I'm not interested in competing for you.
But you said you should go for the dentist?
Yeah. Yeah.
Had you already ordered your food? Was it too late to
leave? We were already well into the meal when she dropped that one on me. But I look, games get played, and I wasn't having it. And I just said, yeah, you should go with the dentist.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're.
It was all known.
What's his name? John Miller?
John Miller.
If you're John Miller, sorry, businessman, international film star that played Batman.
Yeah. Who, by the way, so one of the other sources out there is saying Ben Affleck is realizing that Jen Garner is the love of his life. He wants back. And they've been divorced. I mean, they're pushing 8 years, maybe.
Like, been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
I think she's crazy.
I don't think she's considering it.
Alcoholics are, you know,
difficult.
He put her through untold nightmares.
The best kind of work.
I don't know what they are. I don't know, but you know that drunks do that.
We know what.
Yeah.
Probably went through.
I want you to make a quick note here because I'm reminded of the best kind of work. Ben Affleck accepting the award for Argo, correct? Is that where he was? He did an acceptance speech that is also lives in infamy and that you will love. Just jot that down.
I don't usually bring up my wife in relation to a hostage crisis, but
Jesus, yeah. He's just it is work, but it's the best kind of work. No one would rather work with. Anyway, I really haven't even gotten into the story yet. So some so-called source says that Jennifer Garner's boyfriend, John Miller, has given her an ultimatum based on the pictures of Ben and Jen cuddling. They're not even cuddling. They're just, it's like Vinny said, he's watching her back. During a paintball outing, John Miller has said, if I see any more photos like that in the press, I am walking. John doesn't believe there's anything going on between them, but he's, according to the source, considers images like that disrespectful.
Back to the male ego. And he gets to choose.
Mm-hmm. You can handle it or you can't.
I don't.
I can see being in a relationship with someone for 7 years, all of a sudden their ex is very much back in their life. Kind of. I'm going to guess that he's there in phases when he's busy with Ana de Armas or busy with J-Lo, he's around less. And so John Miller has survived him a couple of times. And now here he is constantly with her. And there's these pictures of them hugging. And he's all like, I get it. I know. I believe that what you and I have is special. It has nothing to do with this guy. But everywhere I turn, everyone's like, oh, God, are you super jealous about Ben Affleck touching your woman area? Like, he's probably like,
I don't want to deal with it.
I don't want to.
That's all there is. Mm-hmm. It's I don't want to deal with it. There's nothing. What? Yeah. No, there is something. When I'm walking down the street, Frank says, boy, you must be pissed off about Batman, right?
Yeah. I'm not, but you're pissing me off, though.
You know, I think that and this is why I didn't want to date married women when I was very young, because I had an idea.
Women who had children and were divorced or had like a complicated marriage.
Whatever. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you didn't want to date married women.
No, I meant like divorced women with kids.
Baggage.
I just didn't want to deal with the husband and how he feels about a new person in the kids' lives. And then all of a sudden I'm being told I should watch where I put, like, it's there's a lot, mm-hmm. and you need to respect that and you need to be cool with it. I also think, you know, she's got two kids, and I know moms, your kids come first, even with your new love life.
Mm-hmm.
And so already John Miller is probably like, I can't wait to get over there and do the stuff that men and women like to do. And then he gets over there and it turns out the kids overnight fell through and they're here. So we're just going to do a pizza night. Is that good? And he's
that's fine.
I would love
to do that.
Not do all the things that I had in my mind as I was walking up the driveway.
Do you think later they'll be asleep, though? And then maybe the other things could happen?
It's real life.
Yeah.
And you take that on when you take on a woman who's got kids.
Right. Well, he comes with complications as well. He's got his own kids. And
We're not talking about what she says about him and his wife and their kid.
No, we're not.
We're talking about what John is saying.
Because the paparazzi aren't following those people, although they are following them around now. Because that was how they got the, I guess they're trying to get a reaction out of John Miller, and they're like, oh, you've got a cute blonde lady and a kid too? Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's got to suck. It's got to be a hard situation to be in.
You mean to be the man that wants all the stuff and then finds out he's...
That the kids come first?
They do.
That's exactly what I was going
for. Well, I'm not
dating yet. Sure it is. We totally believe you're not dating, by the way. Shauna listening. Hi, Shauna. Morning.
I'm not.
Oh, really?
I'm not.
The royal we.
No.
Oh, you still
I might have gone on a date or two, but yeah.
There's a we.
You know what? No, there is not a we.
He knows there's someone else listening who's like, what do you mean we haven't been on a date? What do you mean?
It's an impossible situation.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I can see your problem.
Oh, and we'd love to talk about it. Let's talk through it. Let's see if we can fix this for you. Okay, ready? Here's a bold strategy. Oh, okay. We're going to see how this pays off. Katy Perry, she's got her Lifetimes tour. That's happening. She's all excited about it. It's going strong.
It's
going
to be epic.
It's going to be epic. And her opening act on her current tour is Rebecca Black. It's Friday, Friday. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Look forward to the weekend. The weekend.
How many other opening acts are there?
Well, I don't see any.
Mm.
But what I've got here is Katy Perry, and there are. Come here and look at these pictures. Or did you? Do you have that Instagram? Check this out. Like Rebecca Black. If you're Maddie, you never heard of Rebecca Black before this morning.
And I would love to never have.
Yeah. I go, hey, can you grab Rebecca Black's Friday and just grab me the hook and stuff? We used to use it on the show all the time. Take a look at this, Vinny. There's Rebecca Black and her boyfriend, Katy Perry, in this picture. It's, when did Rebecca Black become a complete hottie? When she hit 30? Like, it's kind of amazing. So, now Katy Perry has last Friday night, we'll do it all again. And of course, Rebecca Black is famous for Friday. And so,
it's Friday.
Uh huh. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Let's keep that going. They're the Friday girls. And so, there's a video of the two of them together. It's on Katy's, I think it's just on Katy's Instagram. And it's, they're just loving on each other. They're dancing. They're so happy. Rebecca Black is looking as cute as can be. They're dancing on stage. They're singing songs. There's some hugging happening.
Well, I don't know about this tour. I know that when Taylor came through and my kid went, so this would have been two tours ago, not the Eras tour. I'm not familiar with the opening acts for that. But Taylor's tour had two or three artists opening. It was like Charlie XCX.
Would they
Camila
rotate
Cabello.
Them?
No, they were one after another.
Oh, goodness. That's so a lot.
Well, early in the day. It was daytime when right. They were on. By nighttime.
Yeah.
And Taylor wasn't doing a three-hour show for that tour, so maybe that changed when she did the Eras tour.
Truthfully, I believe that Katy's tickets are definitely on sale. I don't remember hearing anything about any opening acts. This is the first time I've seen it, and they're just saying, about to spend a lot more Fridays with Rebecca Black. Welcome to the Lifetimes Tour, babes. Mm. So it is, I suppose, possible. No, oh, thank you for playing. So what now, is it starting to grow on you, the Friday song?
No.
Like, have you? Yes, Vinny, your
hand
is stuck
in my head, though.
Can you play Saturday? I mean, does she have all the days?
Well, she does. Yes, she does. Here.
Hold on. Let me skip ahead for your favorite part.
Yeah, this is.
We so excited. We so excited.
We so excited.
We're gonna have a ball today. Tomorrow is Saturday, and Sunday comes afterwards. I don't want this weekend to end.
R.B. Rebecca Black.
There you go.
Okay.
Wow, she really did
shout
out the other days of the weekend. Yeah.
Sunday comes after Saturday.
Comes afterwards.
And then there's Monday. That's another day.
Hey,
Tuesday,
you know what?
After about Monday.
Feels like a Tuesday.
Katy has no chance of getting upstaged. I've heard sometimes that is what they're looking for in an opening act.
Right.
Don't upstage
just
me.
Just a warm-up. Not an upstager.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
How long has she been singing that song? Like, when did that mean?
I don't know, but she was, I think, 13 when
she was a little girl, and it was like a YouTube thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I guess her parents paid for a studio and they wrote the song, like the studio. It's one of those places where you pay us $3,000, we'll write you a song, you'll come in and record it, and we'll make you a video. And it was just so awful that it just became. It was a hit with our show. Maybe no one else ever heard it again. But Vinny and I have been playing that song for years. I'm so glad it's back in the mix. I really missed it. Have a great Friday, you mother fathers.
Go Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Have a great Friday, you mother.
A couple quick notes here.
By the way, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, it is Wednesday. It's only Wednesday,
comes
Wednesday.
Comes after Tuesday.
Right.
Right.
2 days till Friday. Stephen King's Cujo. It's a book he wrote in 1981. It was first made into a film in 1983, and it looks like Netflix is... I'm trying to see if this is just going to be a movie or if it's actually going to be a series, but I think it's just a movie.
I mean, the whole thing takes place in, like, one day.
Yeah, the dog gets... I mean, spoiler alert.
I think it's well past its expiration date. You can spoil Cujo.
Really? Okay. So Cujo's a dog. He's a big dog. Is he like a St. Bernard or something?
Oh, he's just a big old, friendly...
Yeah, sweet dog.
He just wants that say hi.
And he gets rabies. But it's almost like he gets demon rabies because he becomes truly evil and he is going to kill you.
I haven't read that one in a long time.
Yeah, me either. I was wondering if I should go back and read it now.
I've reread some older books. What was the walking one? Doesn't matter.
You mean The Running Man?
No.
Or whatever it was called? The Long Walk.
The Long Walk.
That's one of those short stories.
Okay.
How long was it?
It was a full-size book.
It was a long walk. Very long walk. Do you remember the end of Cujo, though? Because the movie is not the same ending as the book.
I remember the ending of the book. I don't remember if they did what? Did everyone live? Remember, Stephen King would kill anybody damn well felt like.
The kid. The kid lives in the movie. Oh. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they'll do in the Netflix version, so I guess that'll be the surprise.
I'm kind of excited to see how they handle the ending if they make it as morbid as it was in the book.
I actually feel like Stephen King's mellowed out a little bit with the killing off of the mate, because he just did not care who he killed. Like, he would just murder people, most foul.
Murder.
He's a horror guy.
He is a horror guy, that's true.
Murder.
Most foul. Anyway, Cujo looks like it's in the works. Over at Netflix, there's a sequel to The Handmaid's Tale because, you know, they're coming to the end of the, we all need more despair porn. There was a book that came out.
Doesn't the world end at the end of Handmaid's Tale? Is there a world left after that's over?
You know, in the book, they finished all the material from the book in the first season or two of Handmaid's Tale. And so there's another book. It's called The Testaments, which I never circled back and read. And they've got casting and they're getting ready to do it. Mm. So, and that looks like it's going to be a Hulu thing. And they cast Lucy Halliday and she's kind of an odd looking teenager. Like, she's very haunting eyes. Take a look at that. This is the girl who's going to play the lead in The Testaments. I think she's like supposed to be a 15-year-old or something. Kind of cool, I guess. She looks like she'd be in a horror movie, this chick. But it is cute, but has like very haunting. She's
big,
very haunting
giant
face.
Blue eyes.
Yeah. Almost like in an interesting face in the same way that Peggy, the Elizabeth, the girl who plays the main character in The Handmaid's Tale. She plays June.
Is it Moss? Elizabeth
Moss.
It
is Elizabeth Moss. Thank you. She, you know, she's got, she has like really captivating eyes. Like, she's, I don't know, she's pretty, but there's something about when they put a camera on her real tight, like, she's very intense looking. And I feel like this girl kind of has the same look. So there you go. This will be, Lucy Halliday will play Daisy, one of three protagonists in the Margaret Atwood novel on which this new show is based.
All right.
Oh, and I think Aunt Lydia is coming back too. So that's good news because she's the best character. It's set 15 years after The Handmaid's Tale stuff. As everyone has fled to Canada and Canada's like, get out. We can't stand you.
That is not easy watching, everyone.
No, no.
So if you haven't seen The Handmaid's Tale, maybe read a synopsis before you go for it.
Yeah, I like it. It's but they've gone, they're a little off the deep end.
Little?
Yeah.
They were way off the deep end in episode one.
Oh, will you stop it? There they were.
That is a crazy premise and an absolutely dark and twisted show in general.
It is dark and twisted. No question about that. It's like, that's one thing about Margaret Atwood. I've read a lot of her books. She has an incredible knack for predicting the future. Like, the Oryx and Crake trilogy is frighteningly possible. Like, you read it and go, oh, yes, corporations would do that. I can totally see that happening.
I'll write Oryx and Crake's down as a no read either.
Oryx and Crake. No, it's a good story. She writes a good story. Oh, we're out of time. What's coming up in the news, Vin?
NBC Bay Area Scott Budman is here to save the day after these.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
Have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
I love cheap thrills. It's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Check out the Alice 97.3 Instagram. You see all kinds of pictures from the show and get links to our personal profiles.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Leading Ladies in NYC. Head to RadioAlice.com and enter for a chance to win a trip for two to New York City with round-trip airfare, a two-night hotel stay. You got to buy your own pizza, though.
You'll love it. They have a deal there. $3, a slice and a soda.
Right. You'll get tickets to Odyssey's Leading Ladies starring Gwen Stefani, Lainey Wilson, Alessia Cara, Cassie Ashton, and Haven Madison.
Sweet.
It's Leading Ladies in NYC. Go to RadioAlice.com. All right. Here's what's happening as we bring on Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area. He's a good friend of the show and, you know, one of the great guys in the world. Good morning, Scott.
Thanks, you guys. Good morning.
Thanks, so, Scott. There's quite a few things that have happened since we last talked. I mean, the economy is currently tanking. Like, I'm watching.
What? Yeah. Who said that? But, never say that again. Don't look at your stocks, everyone. Back away from it.
And before we get to anything related to stocks, I wanted to mention, and you may not even, I don't know if this is on your list of things that you've got all the info on. Waymo's moving south.
Oh.
Waymo is moving south. What do you know about this? Or if nothing, I mean, that's
No, this is good news. This was just announced yesterday.
Yes.
And Waymo, super popular in San Francisco, both among the locals and if you know people who come into town, it's one of the first things they want to do is, you know, ride in the driverless taxi. Now they're going south, so they're going to be in, you know, it's like 27 miles more is what it is. And so that takes care of Palo Alto, some of Los Altos, some of the cities a little south of San Francisco. So they're now on the peninsula. And it's interesting because this is largely where they tested these cars, because that's where Google, which owns Waymo, is headquartered. And so now you'll be able to use your app and hop in and take one of these in a larger area. And this is part of Waymo's plan to expand. They're doing it in Southern California as well as Northern California. And I say, hey, good news if you like riding around in these things.
Well, they're cool and they're already here. Yeah. I don't know if before they've made this expansion, you could catch a Waymo from the city to the airport.
That's the same thing that occurred to me.
So if only it opens up that route, that'll give them more business.
Will that be new here?
I don't know. Did they do that before?
Yeah, the downside is they still, from what I understand, don't do the freeway. And that's why you can't do some of those routes.
Got it. Okay.
I see.
Well,
and that will, I think, soon, because they, unlike, say, Cruise, which had a lot of incidents, are doing really well. People like them. They want to expand. But So at this point, they're testing them in places. You know, all over the country, but where they are able to pick you up is still in the, you know, within the city limits.
I see.
Waymo going to the peninsula. I have Palo Alto. They'll be serving Mountain View, Los Altos, and Sunnyvale. That whole area, you can cross from one to the next and be in the middle
not
of
not even
three,
realize that
like,
you're
three corners of anyway, I think that's cool. And hopefully, and it's just the app, right?
Yep. Yeah. Just you can download the app and and then you can take your Waymo.
While we're still on cars, I understand that Elon Musk has made the news, well, daily for quite some time now.
Every day, fresh hell. Mm-hmm.
And it's put people who followed him right into electric cars into a spot. I do believe a lot of people felt like Elon was, you know, the person who goes, he's one of us. He's worried about the environment and he's... And then he turns right around and is Republican and is, you know, absolutely the opposite of what people, I guess,
kind of a
thought.
Maniac, but, you know, I guess this isn't really a political show. So, Scott, you know, take it away.
Yeah, without putting, getting political, you may have seen the chainsaw footage. Yeah, this is a real big surprise to a lot of people who bought Teslas. And now you're seeing these stickers on Teslas. Hey, I bought this before Elon went crazy and that kind of stuff. And it's just a really weird time where a guy who was synonymous with helping the environment and making the roads cleaner took a MAGA turn, went political, and is now literally, after feuding with the entire Republican establishment, now has his cars parked outside the White House. Sean Hannity is tweeting about buying a Tesla. It's a real kind of surreal world that we live in. And it's hard to know if it's good for business. Look, bottom line, and you know how I feel about these things, if there are more electric cars on the road, that's great.
Yes.
If they're cleaner, I'm not going to tell you as a Democrat or a Republican that these are bad. These are good. You know, why not get more EVs on the road? Yes. It is a little surreal, though, after the battles these guys had and Trump trying to cancel the EV credits to now be, you know, putting EVs outside the White House and, you know, say what you will, this is going to put more electric cars on the road, right? So, bravo.
Yes. Well, and it is a car company that, yes, he's the head of, but it didn't mean that you didn't make the right decision in getting that car. Like, there's a lot of people who are making, it's just a car. It isn't really political, but except that now it is.
Well, it is because of the owner and what what he says. And that goes for a lot of companies. You know, people feel this way when a company comes out with something of any sort
their
of
stance on whatever thing. Yes.
All kinds of things. Right. A person might say they test on animals. I'm not using their product. Right. Whatever it might be, you take a stand and you put your money behind. And a lot of people, I went and tested a Tesla in my look, I'm going to tell you guys something. Scott Budman is the guy who said to me while we were on one time, I don't know, 2 years ago, as a family, we decided to go electric and we've done that. And I thought, you know what?
It's cool.
He got behind it. He took a stand, and here I am commuting. I'm super commuting, for that matter, and I do not have an e-car. So I have since. I tested the Tesla. I even talked about it on these airwaves, these, you know, super fine airwaves. And people were like, you cannot buy one of those. Right. You cannot get, don't give that. I did, in fact, go get an e-car, but I got the From Frontier Ford, the Mustang Mach-E. And I love it.
Sexy little beast.
It's a killer car, and I don't, but I know you have two Teslas. Do they have stickers on them, Scott? Go.
I only have one. Oh. We have a Chevy Bolt, which we're very happy with. And so, yeah, we're an EV family. If you mean stickers about Elon Musk, no.
Oh, okay, that's what I was
wondering. But look, these cars are now 7 years old and not ready to turn them in yet, but kind of keeping an eye on what's out there.
Interesting.
And the best news is that there are many EVs out there now. And so you have alternatives. Vin, I've been in that Mustang. I've tested it. That's a great car.
It
a lot
is
of room.
Sick.
It's peppy. Yeah. You know, there's a Volkswagen out there that's good. There, I mean, if you got a lot of money, there are good EV BMWs. There are lots of choices.
There's a Porsche that's pretty damn awesome.
And listen, I understand that a lot of people like I grew up in a grease monkey family. Mm-hmm. And I mean that as a compliment to my brother and my dad.
Mechanics, and mechanically minded, yes.
And they redid cars, and so they're into that. And it is strange to switch over. I had fears, and I was worried, and I didn't know if I was going to like the range. And the actual driving experience is phenomenal.
It's kind of insane.
Like, you cannot, I have the power to pass. I'm not talking about top speed. I'm just talking about getting around that person who's decided to go less than the speed limit on a one-lane road.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, these are good. And the only downside is that, right, they become politicized and they shouldn't have been. But look, like you said at the top, Elon Musk is in the news for so many things, and people are, you know, blaming him for federal job losses and talking about programs being cut. And all of a sudden, it's this gigantic political thing. Instead of, hey, I can put my family in this and get
the range.
These cars are great. And we're and I told my kids that at the dinner table. You know, my friend, Scott Budman, I'm friends with the big TV guy in town.
Yeah, that's
true. He uses electric cars. And I really want us to go there. And I was telling my kids, because I want the planet to be here for you, for all your years. I want you
and
to
for
experience
your kids.
The beauty and joy that is this planet. There's
you
so much
changes.
Of it.
Yep.
So anyway, that is one of the stories out there. And I'm glad to hear you didn't put a sticker on your car, because you shouldn't have to do
you
that.
You shouldn't have to.
Next
no,
story.
No, but I must admit, yeah, I'm looking at a lot of choices now. And this is a brand that is being hit hard. And I don't know what happens from here. But it'll be interesting to watch. But yeah, definitely
hey,
some
Scott,
brand damage.
I know some people at Frontier Ford. I can hook you up.
Let you know.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. So Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area, everyone. He does a lot of tech news, and I'm seeing something about a new Apple phone, not the regular iPhone.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, well, so this is something, and I've talked about it on these various airways with you. Remember how we talk about we get these new $1,200 iPhones every year, and they're great, and they're full of stuff, and then I come on and I say, but if you have kids who are going to lose the phone, get the SE, and this is something we've done in our family, and they're great phones. The SE has now been replaced by something, because Apple is up to the 16, called the 16E, and I just can't recommend this enough. It is much less money than what Apple cranks out as their new phones, but it still has literally all the features.
Oh.
Good camera. If you like messing with Apple's AI stuff, it's in there too. All the bells and whistles. It's much less expensive. If you're worried about dropping your phone or having your teenager lose your phone, trust me, the peace of mind of buying like a $600 phone instead of a $1,200 phone goes a long way. And Apple is keeping this alive, and good for them, because I know they're a cash factory and they have these big phones. But it's great to know that these less expensive phones, and there are plenty on the Android side as well, if that's where you go. But good to know that there's at least one iPhone that is still, got all the bells and whistles, but still has a good price.
Still
and that's
somewhat affordable.
Somewhat affordable, yeah.
Even though it's funny because, like, when you say, well, the regular phone's $1,200, you go, like, makes $600 sound like so much less money. But that is still so much money.
$600.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that $600 was a lot for a phone.
Nowadays, nowadays it's like, oh, that's basically a free phone. It's only $600.
Exactly. Well, and I don't know how you, I know that you were setting up the story and you said we seem to just keep buying the new iPhone every year, but I feel like they're getting less repeat buyers these days.
We try as long as we can to hold on to them.
We're keeping our phones longer because the changes are not that profound. So I hope that's the case out there.
It's the case out there for, a couple of reasons. The changes aren't as profound because cell phones have been great at what they do for a long time. Also, there are lots of choices. So if you hold on, Samsung's doing this, Apple's doing this, Google's doing that. Also, there's economic insecurity. You talked about the stock market and you talked about what people have in their accounts. And all of a sudden, people are thinking, do I want to throw $1,200 on a phone right now? Or do I want to hold on to this for a little longer? And the good news is, like EVs, you have a lot of choices of phones at a lot of price points with a whole lot of features that will do you well. And that's the best news for a consumer is that you don't have to shell out all that money every year to have,
the latest and greatest, right?
Yeah.
It's been weird here locally, too, because you do, while there's, the national economy or whatever, and there's stress on that as we speak with tariffs and all that. But there's also, weirdly, a lot of layoffs here in the Bay Area in tech itself, which I can't quite get my head around. The business is booming. Do you know
why is this happening?
Yeah, why is that? Do you have any idea?
It's a great question. Yeah, and it's not going to make you too happy. So a couple of things are going on. One, you are seeing these AI models start to work and do some of the jobs that humans do as far as answering customer questions and doing some coding, and companies can build those up. And the good news there is AI is at the same time creating jobs. We have AI-based startups. We have companies that have to hire in order to program these machines. But think about the long-term effect of that. They are taking some jobs. The other thing is companies figured out they can do pretty well by being thinner. And investors love that. I mean, if you look at what used to be Facebook, now called Meta, their stock price was down to about 90 a couple of years ago. They laid off a ton of people and their stock price went up to 500. And people realized, hey, the stuff still works. Twitter did this too when Elon Musk took over, laying off a bunch of people. And yet the company still works. So some companies are realizing they can be a little thinner and still please investors and please their customers. But I really think the change is going to be, when you want some customer service, which has for a long time been kind of automated anyway, a lot of that is being taken over by these, what they call AI agents. They act like human, but they're actually machines.
Right. Boo.
Yeah.
Such a bummer.
It is a bummer because those phone tree things have always been kind of a bummer.
The Bay Area has been a hot spot for, I know it's tech and all that, but it's also the smartest people in the world end up here working. They're right down the street. Here we are in the city. They're down the street. Like, my wife works with these people where she will go, that guy's an astronaut genius. and I'm on a Zoom call with him. Like, it's crazy the amount of math some of these cats can do in their head while they're talking to other people.
Processing. Here's the answer.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's crazy.
Anyway.
Well, and that's
the good
news. Thank
goodness for smart people.
Exactly. And the good news is, companies need to stay ahead of the curve. And if this area lets too many people go and, smarter, stronger, more fast companies from outside this area start beating them at their own game, then they're going to regret, letting some of those really
losing talent
go.
Absolutely.
So there is still a competitive factor that I think keeps these companies needing to grow. And that's why usually these job numbers have stayed positive. Obviously there's some clouds in the future with all these layoffs, but for the long term, Silicon Valley and the Bay Area has been a place of growth, and hopefully people can still count on that.
Well, you always sound like the voice of reason when you come on anyway. You're like, the guy who comes on, he's like, it's okay, you guys. It all works itself out.
That is the plan, yes.
So, Scott, awesome to talk to you. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you, Scott. We love you guys.
It's great to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Scott, we love you.
Take it easy.
Scott Feidman, NBC Bay Area.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
Have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.